This is the recording of the audit hearing held by the Federal Election Commission on November 20, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Welcome, everyone. This will commence an audit hearing of the Federal Election Commission on Thursday, November 20, 2014, for the Republican Party of Orange County in Audit 11-23. At this time, the audit hearing will come to order. The audit hearing program was instituted as a result of public hearings on enforcement procedures that took place in January of 2009. Commenters at the hearing praised the FEC's program for holding probable cause hearings during the enforcement process, and some commenters requested that a similar procedure be adopted with respect to other commission processes, including audits. Under the program for audit hearings, which went into effect on July 27, 2009, political committees may request a hearing before the commission prior to the commission's adoption of a final audit report. If two or more commissioners approve such a request, the committee will have the opportunity to present oral arguments to the commission directly, and the commissioners may ask relevant questions. Hearings are voluntary, and the commission draws no adverse inference based on a committee's request for or waiver of such a hearing. On June 20, 2014, the Audit Division sent a copy of its draft final audit report to the committee, as well as a copy of the relevant legal analysis. By letter dated July 8, 2014, counsel responded to the draft final audit report and requested a hearing on behalf of the committee. On July 10 of this year, the commission granted that request. So today we have representing the Republican Party of Orange County, Mr. Dan Backer and Christina Saroy.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Before we start, could I be recognized for a point of personal privilege?
Yeah. Why don't you be seated? No, come on up.
And won't delay you long, Mr. Backer.
Before we get started, we're going to recognize Commissioner Weintraub for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to note, because this is the first public meeting that the FEC has had since we lost a significant member of the FEC family. Former Commissioner John McGarry passed away recently. He served here as the old timers know. He served as commissioner for 20 years, and he served with passion and with zest and with commitment to the important mission of this agency. He was well liked and respected by everyone on the staff and in the agency. He served for the House of Representatives. He was on the staff of the House of Representatives before he came here, which I discovered, since I sit in his seat, that makes an unbroken chain of FEC commissioners who served for the House of Representatives before they came here to the FEC, from John McGarry to Carl Sandstrom to me. As I said, he was, in addition to being a serious and committed commissioner, he was very well liked by the staff. He was a delightful individual, and he will be sadly missed by many, many people in this building. So I did not want to let this go unremarked, because he was a really important part of this institution. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. So, Mr. Backer, for today's hearing, you may have up to 20 minutes to make an opening statement. And if you would like to share any of that time with Ms. Saroy, you're welcome to. And following your presentation, the commissioners, the Office of General Counsel, and the Office of the Staff Director will have the opportunity to ask questions. And at the end of the question period, you will have about 10 minutes to make a closing statement. If you need a little extra time, I'm usually quite flexible. And because this hearing is being held in open session, there will be no written transcript. However, audio recordings will be made of the open session hearings in accordance with the Commission's current practice and placed on the FEC's website. So, Mr. Backer, welcome again.
Thank you.
Good to see you. You may proceed with your presentation.
Well, I'm sure to the relief of many, I'm going to keep my presentation relatively brief and likely not use the full allotted time. I believe the commissioners have all received a copy of the letter that we've prepared and sent in a week ago, detailing the position of the Republican Party of Orange County in this matter. Without reading at it from it verbatim, I essentially would like to summarize that it is our position that were the California State Party to engage Dan Backer, Inc. to conduct voter registration activity with its Levin funds, this would be, of course, a sensible, normal, logical transaction. In fact, it's the entire purpose of the Levin funds is to have an additional pile of funds that is not otherwise contributable for candidate purposes to engage in voter registration. California is a big state. Unfortunately, Commissioner Revelle is not here to appreciate the jokes that we had hopefully had on that. But in order to effectively engage in local voter registration activities, the California State Party contracts with vendors and agents who are familiar with the local communities in which they're engaging, and that is best achieved through the individual local parties that participate through the Operation Bounty program. The California State Party doesn't know who's likely to be a voter and an unregistered or registered voter in, say, Orange County. They don't know where to find them. They don't know how best to communicate with them. They don't know, you know, whether it's the Stop and Shop or the Safeway that is the better place to start trying to attract individual voters. They're simply not possessed of that knowledge. And in hiring a vendor, they have a choice. They can pay somebody who may or may not have expertise in this area, probably has done a little bit of it. That person, of course, is doing it for a profit motivation. They have the income is taxable, and so they're pricing accordingly. Or the state party can employ an agent and vendor who is best equipped with the local knowledge of how to engage in voter registration activity. And in this case, and in many cases, it would be the party. Now, the California State Party called up the FEC and they asked, can we do this? And they have in the draft final audit report acknowledges that the state party is not violating any regulation by expending its funds for this purpose. The issue seems to be the nature of the transaction, the character of the transaction as it flows down. And it is our position and that the position of the Republican Party of Orange County that it is acting as a vendor. It is not receiving jointly raising funds. It is not receiving funds for the purposes of exercising its federal election activities or engaging in activities on its end. It is being paid to per piece to deliver completed voter registrations through a highly regimented regime to the state party. It is in every bit and way an agent and a vendor as if it were Dan Backer, Inc., though they might have a better name for it than I would. And because it is acting as an agent and a vendor, and it is not operating in using these funds for its own chosen activities in other ways, we believe that it ought to be treated as an agent and a vendor. And I think when we look at the statute and we research this matter, what we noticed was really interesting is that at the end of the day, it strikes me as such an obvious thing that a state party is going to hire somebody local to do this work, and that the local parties are the best suited for this. And I would assume that pretty much anybody who'd been elected to office might think the same way. And in drafting regulations and statutes to prevent certain kinds of activities, if this were an activity that the Congress wanted to prevent, they could have easily have done so simply by saying no state, federal, or local party committee will act as an agent of another for the purposes of engaging in FEA Type 1 activities. It's about 20 words or so. But that's not the language there. The language that Congress employed and that's embodied in the regulations is designed to prevent the circumvention of the base limits, which, by the way, there's no allegation or any evidence of any circumvention of occurred in this transaction at all. And so it's about not allowing an individual to give money to a local party and then to give money to the state party to then give to the local party, thereby circumventing the base limit in order to allow the local party have a big chunk of money to do whatever it would like with. The nature of this transaction as an agent and vendor transaction is, I think, different than what Congress was attempting to get at. It's not covered within the scope of the statute, and we believe that that finding number four should not be found by the commission, and that it improperly imposes fines on an agent or vendor entity when it shouldn't. And then beyond that, I would defer to letter that we sent last week and welcome questions, which I'm sure there may be a few.
Are there any questions of the Office of General Counsel, Staff Director, or Commissioners for Mr. Backer?
Dan, I've got a, just so I understand factually, the state party transferred these funds from its Levin account.
Yes.
Okay. The Orange County Republicans deposited them into its Levin account?
Yes.
Okay.
And if I may speak to that?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things we were joking as we came in here that if you're a local member of your community and you want to engage in the political process and help the local party out because you share those values and want to get involved, and we're excited to have you. Welcome to the party. Here, read this. I think it's not unreasonable to say that they got the Levin funds in payment for the services that had been rendered, and because there were Levin funds, they put it into a Levin account. I would suggest, and I believe we did in the letter, that that's just a silly way for them to have done the accounting on it, but it's not a, I don't believe that that sort of lack of administrative and procedural knowledge is necessarily indicative of the nature of the transaction.
Okay. In so the Orange County Republican Party then transferred the money from its Levin account to its federal account.
Yes.
Okay. And okay. Were the Orange County Republicans permitted to take Levin funds in California and put them into a federal account?
Were the Orange County Party operating in its capacity as a local party and raising Levin funds?
See, this is where the vendor argument.
Yeah. Well, I would say between there's the vendor and the non-vendor argument. If it's not acting as a vendor, then no, this is not something it should have done. As a vendor, they still shouldn't have flowed the funds in this manner. And largely it's because they expend the funds out of their principal account, which is their federal account, for the activities that they engage in. And so they're reimbursing they've already spent this money. They've paid the individual field operatives out for this activity. And so the money's in the Levin account. They're moving it into the account from whence it was paid. It would have been a much more appropriate transaction had they just deposited the money directly into that account, the federal account. That's with our position that it's a vendor. Were it not a vendor, and it were just taking money from the state party to do whatever it likes with, they shouldn't have taken the money in the first place.
Okay. I understand why the vendor argument is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions of anyone? Yes, Commissioner Weintraub.
Just to make sure that I'm perfectly understanding your argument, so you're not suggesting that this was a form of the local party raising funds by serving as a vendor, if you understand my question.
I believe I do. Correct. We would say that the vendor was being compensated for the services it had performed, for performing those services according to the contract it had with the state party. It wasn't performing those services as a mechanism to raise money for its other political activities.
Was not. Okay. And I, just as a point of clarification, you had said something earlier about a fine, and I know you know this, but I just want to be very clear that nothing that we're doing here today involves fines. What we're considering here is this is a hearing, and at some point after the hearing, we'll have a vote on the audit report, which may include a finding. That there is a finding does not necessarily mean that there will be subsequently any kind of a fine or enforcement action. That's a there may or there may not be. That's an entirely separate decision. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody was clear on the different the decision points that we're mm-hmm. that we're at here.
Yes, and I think my client would be inclined to forestall the proceeding to the part of the transaction where a fine may occur.
Lorenzo, yes, Mr. Holloway.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Walther. I just wondered if you might want to address the equal protection argument you're making.
I'm not going to address the equal protection argument. The commission, I think, has responded to that appropriately in this context.
Mr. Holloway?
Yes. I just want to make sure I understand your argument correctly. Are you suggesting that the Orange County Republicans as a local party committee could shake off its appearance and purpose as a local party committee and perform under this transaction without any benefit from the program?
Well, I believe that the party does benefit from the program the way any vendor would. It acquires data and information.
Benefit as a political party? Would it benefit as a political party from this?
Sure, and there's certainly going to be incidental and marginal benefit to the party for conducting this activity. But I don't think that changes the nature of the activity. And looking at the way, for example, a commercial vendor, Dan Backer Inc., would operate, if Dan Backer Inc. did this, what I would acquire would be all that information of all the individuals that I'd registered. And now I'd be able to communicate with those individuals or sell that data to somebody in order to be able to communicate with them. The fact that there is a benefit to somebody who is a vendor other than simple compensation, I don't think changes the nature of it. Certainly in this case, the local party benefits from the fact that the state party is paying it to do this work, and both directly for the compensation for the services it has rendered, but also because it's good. It's generally good. What's good for the state party is usually good for the local party, usually not always.
Right. Yeah, I think that's true. Do you think it could remove itself to be sort of the neutral vendor, such that would the Orange County Republic, would they perform the same transaction for California Democrats?
I don't think they would. I think I get the argument that you're making, and I would say that, you know, my firm doesn't work with Democrats either. We have not a few nonpartisan clients, but we're a firm that services a conservative audience, and I think the fact that the RPOC would only seek to engage in this transaction with the California State Party doesn't change that it's a vendor who happens to function that role, and that it's the organizational nature of it as a party doesn't change that. In this case, it's acting simply as an agent and vendor.
Okay. So how does the commission tell the difference between when a political party committee is acting as a commercial vendor versus when it's acting as a political party committee?
I think that's a great.
How does the commission draw that distinction?
I think that's a great question, and I would turn to sort of the fundamentals of agency law, where the state party is saying, you will perform this task. Here's exactly how we want you to do it. Here is the compensation that we are going to pay you per piece. You have this much leeway. If you choose to subcontract, here are the approved subcontractors that you are permitted to use. You are going to be reporting up to us at all phases of this operation. It is very much a managed operation, whereas I think what the activity that the commission would seek to get at would be twofold. One would be, hey, state party going to RCOP and saying, here's $50,000, go have some fun. Obviously, that would be outside the scope of the permissible activity. And secondly, where a donor has, for example, given RCOP $10,000 for 11 fund activity of RCOP's choosing, and then goes to the state party and says, hey, here's another 10 grand, and you know, directly or indirectly or otherwise earmarks it for the use of the state, the local party, whether through this particular vendor program or even the sort of do what you want with it, that's just a different nature of the transaction. And that gets to exactly what Congress is going after, trying to prevent the circumvention, the potential for circumvention of the soft money ban. That 11 funds are a very narrow sort of avenue of activity that's permissible. But I think to get at that activity, we look at what's going on. And in this case, the state party is paying a very specific, highly regimented program, and there's no appearance or question of circumvention. If they just gave the money, if there was that other element, if they said, hey, you know, we want you to go register people, have some fun. I think the detailed nature of the Operation Bounty program, which the FEC, as I understand, has looked at for the state party, I think changes the nature of that transaction from something that might be questionable or even impermissible to a very straightforward vendor relationship. I recognize that's a bit of a case-by-case assessment that has to occur, but I think that's important to protect the broadest range of permissible speech rights.
Commissioner Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that just kind of explore some of the kind of the logical extensions that this could lead to. So at the core of your argument is that we should distinguish between a transfer from in this case, a state party to a local party that no strings attached, which you would concede that if there was a transfer from the California Republican Party to the Orange County Republican Party of 11 funds, you know, like I said, no strings attached, the local party couldn't put those in their 11 account and then spend those on type 1 or type 2 FIA.
Correct. The state party couldn't just accept the money, from the state party committee.
But you think that we should draw a distinction between that sort of a transfer and basically payment for services rendered? where the party now is no longer acting as a subsidiary of a larger party structure within the state, but is acting now in a as a vendor to the state party. And
yes,
I have that right. Okay, in that relationship, then, what is your argument about what are the acceptable forms of payment that the state party could make to the local party, and what were and are there any limits on what accounts the local party could deposit that money into?
Well, I think the state party could and appropriately did expend and make a payment to its vendor out of its Levin account. I think
could it have done it out of its state account? And then why not?
Because it's still because of the voter registration occurred within the FEA Type 1 windows. It's defined as FEA Type 1 activity, so it has to be from Levin or permissible federal funds, as I understand it.
Okay.
So I could see it coming out of the federal account. I could see it coming out of the Levin account. But I think the purpose of the Levin funds is precisely this: to pay somebody to do this sort of local work that needs to get done. And as I read the statute and the regs and sort of the background here, that's precisely what the Levin funds are for, is to hire vendors to do this work. So I think the state party appropriately paid out of that account. I think my client may have inappropriately deposited the funds into its Levin account, which I don't think they should have done. I think, and you know, hindsight's 20/20, I think they probably, you know, made an administrative error here and decided, well, the check says Levin funds, so we have a Levin account, why don't we just stick it in there? Is probably not a great way to manage the transactions. But I also think it's an unsophisticated, well, I don't want to call my client unsophisticated, but I would say they're the knowledge involved of these two books is probably less than, say, that's present in this room. And I think they're not necessarily realizing that they should have deposited into their federal account, which I think would probably be the appropriate way to handle it. I think that's a mistake that they made, but it doesn't change the nature of the transaction.
They have deposited into its federal account, even though the money, you know, the Levin account money and has to be raised in accordance with state law. California state law does allow corporate contributions. Is your position that that the Republican Party of Orange County could have deposited these into their federal account?
Well, that's a very good point. I suppose they'd have to double check to see get a sense of the sources of that, but I don't think it should have gone into a state account. I think it should have gone into what is essentially their primary operating account. And maybe they need to have a separate account for this, but I don't think it should be what's tagged as a Levin account, because the purpose of the Levin account is to raise Levin funds into that account and disperse them from there. So I think they conflated that with that incorrectly with the nature of this activity. And, you know, they have, according to the audit report, I think they have something like 12 or 15 different bank accounts. So clearly there is room for improvement in the process by which they did this. But I think the state party was right in paying the funds from its Levin account, and it checked with the FEC and was told that's appropriate. And the local party committee, relying on probably, should have probably asked the question a little bit differently, but relied on the fact that, well, if the state party can give us this money to do this work, then I guess it's okay. They probably shouldn't have deposited into their Levin account, but I think a federal account might be appropriate. You raise a good point about corporate contributions, so that may have to be deposited into a separate federal account. I think what's important, though, is I really like the fact that the money is within the federal reporting system here. And even though it's acting as a vendor, it's acting in an extremely transparent way, because you're seeing how every dollar in and out gets spent, as opposed to, you know, paying Dan Backer Inc. and we don't report anything.
Yeah. You know, at issue here are, I guess, two different considerations. One is strictly the technical legal argument. One of the concerns that I have is if we were to subscribe to your argument and say, okay, this is how we're going to we buy it and we're going to go forward on this. Would every state or local party, would every local party then recharacterize the relationship with their state party as a, we are acting as a vendor, and that way getting around the homegrown Levin funds requirement. I'm completely with you when you say that the burdens that we place on state and local parties under BCRA, and you were flashing 11 CFR, are extensive, and I think impose a great deal of burdens. I think overly so, and I'm with you on that. And I think that one of the considerations that we'd have, even if we don't ultimately subscribe to your argument, is whether or not what happened here would merit anything on the back end in terms of enforcement. I think that's a completely different question that we'd have to take into account. Again, the complexity of the regs, what exactly happened, and so forth. But address my concern about that if we view the local parties, if state and local parties could just recharacterize relationships so that now local parties are just, we're going to say that we're going to be vendors, and that way we can get around the homegrown leaven funds requirement, which I've got to admit, it never made a lot of sense to me, but it is what it is. It's plain in the statute. We have to live within it. Wouldn't that be the likely outcome? If I were to sign on to your argument?
Well, I think there's two components here. The first is would all the local parties recharacterize themselves in this way? And even assuming that's optimal for all the state and local parties involved, it's not simply saying, okay, hey, we're a vendor now, give us your money. I think what distinguishes this transaction from an impermissible transaction under the regs as they're written and the statute as it's written is the very detailed nature of the Operation Bounty contract. They clearly designed it to create a vendor relationship. And I think the extent to which that's been designed, I think, is the critical component. Now, maybe this is something that would be worthy of a rulemaking or more clarification from the commission to create better parameters as to what it looks like when you're an agent versus what it looks like when you're attempting to circumvent the applicable regulations. But in this case, the extent to which the local party is really just a functionary agent is substantial. The only thing that they're really bringing to the table is local manpower, personnel, and knowledge, which any commercial vendor is going to have regardless. So I think there may be a need for greater clarification from the commission as to what it looks like to be an appropriate agent in that case to prevent circumvention. And I think the other element is that the purpose of the statute and the regs is to prevent circumvention of the leaven fund limits and circumvention of the contribution limits by donors. Here, you don't have any evidence or appearance or occurrence of this sort of circumvention. And I think that may become an issue as you're considering broader guidance. What happens if somebody who contributes to a state party's leaven fund is also giving to a local party's leaven fund? Perhaps that the commission ought to reconsider the affiliation requirement that's under the current regulations, where I as an individual acting as a good actor can give $10,000 to every state party and my state party, all my local parties, all my city and my county parties, etc. Perhaps if state local parties are beginning to act as in agency capacity like this, that may need to be reconsidered. And certainly I could see a good argument to find ways to prevent the intermingling of the funds involved there. So they're paying for different sets of activities, even if they are permissible. I think there's a lot of really interesting questions there, but I think they ought to be, and this may not be, this certainly isn't the forum to do that. I think it's probably a rulemaking. But I think that my client acting as a good actor, not engaged in activity that shows any appearance of or potential for circumvention, and acting as a vendor and believing they were acting appropriately, probably ought to be clear of finding number four. But I think there are a lot of interesting questions of law that this raises and how we define those relationships.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did have a couple of questions. I didn't have a copy of Operation Bounty until this morning. But up until then, I was wondering why you didn't characterize it as more of an independent contractor relationship as opposed to an agency relationship, because it seemed to me that's really closer to what you were, although this Operation Bounty needs to be looked at a little bit from that perspective, it seems to me.
In looking at the way the relationship exists, I see it as a very very much an agency relationship. I'm not going to second guess counsel for the state party and the formation of the contract and how they wrote it and they drafted it, but it's clearly not an employment agreement. But I think it's accurately reflects an agency relationship. The state party is saying, here's what you need to do, here's how you're going to do it, here's how we're going to pay you, here's the auditing mechanisms, here's the control mechanisms. I don't think it really matters even if they're an independent contractor or if the state or the local party is acting as an independent contractor, we classify that way versus a more traditional agent. I think it's still within the scope of an agency relationship.
Well, it's usually one or the other, but I was just curious to know why that didn't come up in the lexicon of this relationship, since it does seem like if you're going to hire Dan Backer, you're going to be more likely to be an independent contractor than an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wondered, in a case like that, seems to be less of a concern if you have an independent contractor relationship like that. Mm-hmm. So I just was interested in your observation.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say that, I would look at it this way. We have independent contractors. We have and even if they're independent contractors, I think they still tend to fall within the concept of agency in a lot of cases. Not for all purposes. They're not employees. And I would suggest that, you know, if they hire Dan Backer Inc. as just a vendor corporate entity, you know, it's still going to be an agent of the party for the purposes of performing the party's function here, even though it's a legally distinct entity, as is the RCOP with respect to the state party. I think that's probably getting a little too much into the weeds of agency law, which I'll admit is probably not my strongest area.
More questions? Dan, the just curious. I know you probably weren't there at the inception of all this. Any idea why the state state party didn't just transfer federal funds so that you could take it into your federal account?
Sorry, as you noted, I wasn't involved in that process. I would guess.
Where is Chuck when you need him?
Yeah. Well, right about now, probably still sleeping. I would suggest that the party goes out and raises, this would be my assumption, and I could be completely wrong, but a party goes out and raises Levin funds as Levin funds in order to promote, engage in these specific types of activities to preserve its other federal funds for the more aggressive forms of activity. And I think having raised Levin funds, they're properly expending them in the performance of these voter registration drives. And so it seems just the natural and appropriate way to do that. In my own practice, we have quite a few clients who happen to be hybrid PACs, and we always encourage them to be very mindful of how they spend between the two accounts, but that a candidate contributable dollar is worth more than a non-candidate contributable dollar. And I would imagine that for the state parties, there's probably a similar belief system there, that Levin funds, while great, are probably worth less than general federal funds in terms of their utility to the party committee.
Yeah. Looking down the road sort of at the consequence of all this, this does have a flavor of a kind of an accounting issue. Mm-hmm. But you've taken our audit division's recommendation to repay from federal account to Levin account. The footnote in our draft audit report says that as of April 30, 2014, this amount remains outstanding on Schedule D, and the reported cash on hand balance, I'm assuming that that's a reference to the Orange County's, is that a reference to Orange County's federal account or Levin account?
Federal account
was $3,802. Have reimbursements begun?
I'm not aware of that, but I would imagine they probably wanted to get through the election cycle first, and now being in the new cycle, they're probably going to focus on that repayment. And I would note that, in the context of IRS litigation, when you pay the tax and then you sue for a refund, and I think the local party's compliance with the recommendations and treatment this way is really designed to, all right, well, let's do it what we can here, but we still want to challenge this finding because it may not be appropriate. I think depending on what the ultimate finding is on this audit report, they may have to reassess that. And in doing so, they're going to wisely talk to counsel and the FEC in advance this time to ensure that they're making the appropriate adjustments. But I just don't think there's really there's not a lot of incentive to use federal funds, right before an election for something other than electing people.
Yeah, not to make light of all uses of funds, but, this appears to be one genie that could be put back in the bottle with a reimbursement. And, it happens quite often with multiple accounts. So any other questions of commissioners? Okay. Yeah. Debbie, anybody? Mr. Holloway? Stevenson? Okay. Well, anything else regarding any of the questions you just heard before we go to a closing statement?
No, thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Backer, if you'd like to just wrap up, you've got 10 minutes to make a closing statement or a summary.
And I will again be mercifully brief. I think we've covered a lot of the territory at issue here today and in the letter from last week. I think, Commissioner Peterson adequately notes that there are a lot of interesting and unanswered questions that may result from this that probably would be appropriate to be weighed in a different context. But regardless of those those resulting questions, I think it would be appropriate for our for the final audit report that is approved to not include finding four while these open issues are being thought through and settled. And that our client certainly, is attempting as best it can to be a good actor in this situation.
Yeah. Ms. Saroy, did you have anything to add?
No, thank you.
Okay.
She's just here to tell me to shut up when I talk too much. So.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for bringing this issue to us. It's an interesting issue. I think I speak for all commissioners. I think we care about our state and local parties. These are difficult issues, as you say. So I just want to thank you for bringing it, and thank you for putting up with us today. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay. If there's nothing else, then that concludes today's audit hearing for the Republican Party of Orange County. Mr. Holloway, thank you. Thank you, everyone.